Are we going?
Into podcast.
Potter Who Cast.
But how's it called? Billis Major at your service.
Don't forget me.
Sarah, did you forget me?
Oh, let's go! That's class!
There is no such thing as...
Oh, who's ready for this?
I'm pretty ready.
It does feel like excited to watch this episode.
Same.
I feel like an idiot. I feel like a dope. I feel like an idiot. I feel like somebody sold me a bridge, and I was like, and I'm just like walking through the middle. What did I just do? Like, and the worst part is I've seen this episode before. Yeah. Like, I should know what's coming. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's also we'll get into it on the actual thing, but it's like we have Wild Blue Yonder at home. I feel it up in my head is like more than it was, and then I'm like, oh no, yeah. This did not need to be a two-parter at all. This is so thin.
No, I'll tell you what this is. It's not Wild Blue Yonder at home. This is like, hey, Doctor Who, what are you doing? Hey, oh, you know, I just, you know, I bought the set from The Thing and the actors from The Thing and the characters from The Thing and the plot from The Thing, and we're going to have
The Thing.
Oh, yeah. And then all that. And then you're like, oh, well, wow, you bought a lot of things from The Thing. What are you going to do with all those things, Doctor Who? And they're like, oh, you know, aliens. Like, God damn it, guy. Fucking.
I have an observation that I'll make soon about what this is, and it really kind of confused me when I realized what it was. But okay. That's me when I wake up and realize makers have put unnecessary flesh in my media.
Good.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's me as well. It's me as well.
Yeah. It's everyone's here. And by the way, let's just get this out of the way. There's also a bunch of gangers of us. Mm-hmm. They're gonna do whatever they want to do.
They're gonna produce. They're actually gonna produce a really bad episode, and then when you guys say, "Wow, that was a bad episode," it's because you're racist. So, yeah.
Like Amy Pond. We'll get to. Potter Who Cast. The Rebel Flesh and Almost People, but there are almost three people here because there are three people here.
Wow.
You can tell this is like the first time we've done this since August.
What an episode to come back to, huh?
Yeah.
Just me walking into a room like, wow, I remember series 6. It was like the first series I watched live as it aired. Oh, let's go back.
And yeah.
Two hours later. Oh my god.
but who's gangers? Are not here because the real person's here because that matters apparently. Even though it doesn't really matter in the episode at all, to be honest with you.
Well, hello, I'm here, Sam from Gamer Era now, I guess. Yeah. It feels really weird introducing that now. I mean, we did it in the other episode, but hello.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 Wow, it's been. Yeah. What was your last episode?
It was Amy's choice.
Yeah. And I think of Sam's choice, why Sam's choice.
Yes, very true. I really love picking like slightly shonky episodes. Like it started with Long Game, it went through to the Cybermen two-parter. I like picking out diamonds in the rough. Now, hey, now, I'm not implying anything about this episode when I say diamonds. But we'll get into it, I'm sure.
What I would like to imply is that you have now done two stories where a giant scorpion-like creature emerges at some point that looks pretty poor. for whatever reason at all. But yeah, so these were broadcast on the 21st and 20th of May 2011. May the 27th, 28th be with you. Now, as someone who is on the record loving Fear Her, it brings me no pleasure to say this is written by Matthew Graham. This is not his finest hour. But
oh no!
Speaking of people who have maybe not had their finest hour either, directed by Julian Simpson, who let's get the good stuff out of the way first. He was the second unit director on 24 Live Another Day. No one remembers the 24 Legacy sequel series that came out, and
I remember.
Well, of course you remember, weirdo.
I put that in my TV tracker. I was like, I can't wait to watch this.
He's got like a load of BBC radio plays to his name that he's written. But like the one thing that I zoomed in on when I looked at his Wikipedia was the fact that the TV show New Tricks, which Michelle feels like it would be prime Michelle material because it's about old detectives solving cold cases, and the whole point is that they're old and that like they're not, you know, they're all like, oh, we're stuck in a cupboard solving all these cold cases. Oh, this is fucking stupid. All stuff. It's all these old.
Like, this went on for 12 seasons. Oh,
yeah,
God.
It was. That's a problem because the leads were like, oh, the scripts for this have gotten really stale. We're not doing anything fun. We're just doing motions. And Julian Simpson had a full-on like Twitter meltdown, being like, "Well, I guess actors write the stories now, do they? You know, because he wrote a few episodes, and he was like, oh, I guess actors know what they're doing now, don't they? Oh, I guess actors are doing this now. This we don't need any more." And I was like, "Guy, fucking calm down, you know, corn cobbing.
It's New Tricks."
Yeah,
forget it, Jake. It's New Tricks.
It's New Tricks. It's all right. New Tricks famously couldn't get the rights to this is just David Core now. They couldn't get the rights to the Traveling Wilburys song and the line End of the Line. So they had Dennis Warhaman, who was the one of the stars of New Tricks, record a like sound alike version for the theme. That is like, just the song End of the Line, but all the lyrics changed. It's really strange. But
no idea what any of that was. Yeah, I'm so sorry.
Care about that. In a sentence,
I just want to ask just curiosity, yeah. And I know the answer of like, in your television industry, in a world where New Tricks gets 12 seasons, how are people unemployed? I understand the how Tories. I know the answer.
The Tories.
I just feel like, I should have guessed that the answer.
So in a sentence, sentient liquid that's used as a slave force, essentially in an acid factory, gains independence during a solar tsunami. And everyone fights each other before the Doctor and his own gang are save the day, and then reveals it's actually all intentional because he wanted to see how the flesh, which is what they call it, worked, because Amy has been replaced by the flesh. And the real Amy is currently heavily pregnant and screaming, which I would scream to Frances Barber try to talk to me because I don't like TERFs. And she's a big one. Okay, look.
Is she? Oh. Yeah, and really, I love 2024. Great. Awesome. Yeah. Let me just cut a little bit here of praise I was going to give.
Well, let's focus on the thing that... Okay, let's get it all out of the way, okay? The flesh is a bubble. It's bubbling in the vats, steaming white liquid, okay? Yeah. Let's get all of our systems now. Let's all be adults, okay? Does anyone want to share with the class? Any kind of jokes want to get out of the way just before I do anything else?
You remember that character toys that was just a big blob of goo, and there were all the Matt Smith body parts in?
Mm-hmm.
You guys remember that little gem? That was funny. That was pretty good. The hot glue kit,
yeah.
The leftover bits that fell off the assembly line, mm-hmm. and then they just like threw in with some gunk. Mm-hmm. Good times, good times.
I don't understand how, well, I do, again, I do. I don't understand how the guy who writes, Stephen Moffat, the guy who takes any opportunity he can to say, be like, I know what sex is, and I will mention sex now. Did no one at no point go like, Steven, that looks like a vat of cum. Like, can we not make them white? Because then it just looks like they're made out of spunk. Like,
yeah. It wasn't intentional at any level. Like, you could put your art degree cap on and be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's like a rebirth. It's a
building blocks of humanity. Rooms.
Yeah, it's like, no, it's not. It's just, I don't know. It's just goop. It's just gunk.
No, I get why they're trying to make it look like they're like lizard-like. You know, they're trying to make it look like they're these, I don't know what the name of the animal I'm thinking of, but there is an animal, like an eel. Like, they got these eel faces a little bit, and the skin is meant to look like a little bit like a jellyfish. And the result is, it's clearly, you can tell that they don't want to do the makeup anymore towards the end. Like, the fact that Jennifer just becomes a CGI character who...
Like a weird raptor turkey thing with a Voldemort face. It becomes very Chimera-like.
And bangs.
You can tell they're like, it would be so much easier if she just became a four-legged monster and screamed, if instead of us having to apply this makeup.
Well, yeah.
And the biggest problem I have with The Flash is... And this is like at the core of the entire... It's so weirdly misaimed and misguided. The episode introduces the idea that the Flash is sentient. But also, it never talks about that. It always talks about the Gangers being sentient. And it says the Gangers are made of Flash, but the Flash is also sentient. And the Flash remembers every death. But the Flash's sentience is only important when it can create the Doctor. But at no point does anyone ever ask, like... Wait a second, is this thing sentient? Is this like fucking alien goo thing? Is this alien goo? It can be everything and nothing at the same time. And you're just like, because why aren't these guys just clones? Because Doctor Who has clones. It literally had Santaran clones like this, two series ago.
This is the thing I wanted to touch on with you too. About halfway through this, I jotted down a note that... So my thing was, like, do all of Amy and Rory's mid-season two-parters have to be filmed in some, like, grim Welsh industrial area? Which is when I realized this is just The Hungry Earth Cold Blood. This is literally just the exact same story as The Hungry Earth Cold Blood. It's two warring factions. There's a death that happens that kind of kicks everything off.
They're struggling to coexist.
Yeah. There's a whole, like, you know... We have to figure this out. At the end, there's a temporary pseudo death because, you know, Rory dies in the Hungry Earth Cold Blood. This time, Amy dies, in a sense, at the end of this one. The problem is, it's a shit version of that. And also, it becomes a slasher film for the end of the two parter for some reason after building up this, like, this story of, like, you know, like you were saying. Is this sentient? Should they be, like, you know, treated as a cattle? Should they be treated as slaves? Should they be, like, you know, forcibly killed? And then as soon as Matt Smith walks in, going like, it turns into, I know what you did last summer, you know, it just turns into this, like, this kind of, it just loses the rag of itself. I think it just kind of, it really has no idea what to do once it's, you know, introduce this whole conflict of, oh, there are two doctors now, other than let's make Amy racist. Although it's not Amy because it's the Flash, so, you know, don't cancel Amy Pond.
Oh, yeah. It's like Amy kind of puppeting. I mean, I guess at the end he talks, it's a very confused story in certain ways. Yeah. I think the thing that hit me most was it was like, because I've watched this one for the first time a few years back, because I, quite infamously, I started watching Series 6 when it was current. And I watched the first two episodes and I was like, oh, for fuck's sake, it's another Moffat, like, puzzle box. And as, like, a 14-year-old, I just didn't have the time of day for it. I was just like, all right, nah, I'm not, like, sitting around waiting for the story to make sense. I'm dipping for a bit. But I gave Series 6 an honest chance a few years back because, obviously, it gets rated so highly by so many people. When I watched this one for the first time, I did enjoy it, but I do remember the main thing that stuck with me was I really wish the mindfuck went a bit deeper, that there were more opportunities where the imposters walk upon us, if you will. and more like switcheroos and stuff like that. And, you know, they kind of tried to do it with the whole like Doctor switching his shoes thing. And there's some stuff in the first part as well, where a couple of the crew members are like switched around, but it's also like, they're doing that same thing.
There's just one instance of that. That's just the thing. It happens once. You're thinking of Miranda Graves when he hands her the plate and she's like, it's hot. That's the only time it happens in that entire episode. Actually. And then
there's a bit of Jennifer later where there's two flesh people.
Which they break the rules. The only way I hate this scene so much because the instant it's revealed that she was also a ganger, I was like, where did the other ganger come from? Are we ever going to address that? Like, did she just create another one? And then, because like, I felt like the pile of dead Jennifers was like, supposed to be the results of her trying to create a second gang. Oh my god, it's such a comp. Why is she trying to trick Rory like this? He's like, he already trusts you. Like, that's the thing. He was actively looking for her. And she was like, I have to connect a plan to make him believe that he killed the ganger Jennifer and that I'm the real Jennifer, even though he's seen and he's shown that he actually cares for the ganger Jennifer. Yeah. And I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why are we doing any of
this? Yeah, it's very convoluted. And there's a lot of parts where it's with the ganger doctor as well, and like the whole thing where the real doctor's like testing Amy. It's like Amy's like on the ropes a bit, and it's like he's kind of testing a prejudice. And then he like literally grabs her and slams her against a wall, and she's like, yeah, fuck this, I'm out. Like, kind of understandably. And then at the end, he's like, I can't believe you. I can't believe you were prejudiced just because you thought that I was the ganger. It's like, what? Because you attacked her. There were two doctors in a room and she went with the one that was friendlier. It's just like,
yeah.
It's but so also, weird.
Also, and again, I just want to say that if you do what I am about to do in when you watch a movie or television show, I hate you.
Oh,
but
God.
In this case, it's fine. I hate nitpicking. But also, if you think about it, it makes no sense. Why is the doctor knows that she is pregnant right now? He is putting her through undue stress. For what purpose? What is he trying to ascertain through this test? At the end, he says, I had to make sure that the gangers were just as real as you and me. Which is like, what does that affect in any way what you did after that? Like, what the preceding hour and a half had nothing, no information that affects what you do after this, which is you dissolve her into goo. Which is like, did you really need to, like, I'm just...
And it doesn't really play into the following episodes either. It's just like, it's kind of just a twist for the sake of a twist. And it's the same with the ganger doctor showing up at the end of the first part. It's like, that feels like the entire reason it's two parts. It's like they were like, oh, the ganger doctor walks up and he goes, trust me. And he's got the like weird makeup. And then it's like, you know, you go to be continued. But then it's like the rest of the story between those bits is like,
That's exactly the thing. It's like, I don't know if you're going to use that bit I said at the beginning, David, about like, they literally built a thing, like, we are going to make the thing, but they don't fucking do the thing. Like, at no point does anyone ever go like, are you a ganger or are you a real human? Like, because we keep cutting to the gangers, so we always know who's who.
Yep.
And the audience never has the moment of like, who is who?
And the gangers have the suits as well for the most part, where the other
gangers
guys
are easily identified. But also, the characters never have a moment of who is who. From the beginning, from like the middle of part one, it is very clearly of like, this is a battle between us and them, us and them. Yeah. And it's like, okay, that is fine. If you want to do that, do that. But then why do you set up the fucking thing? It's like, you are literally making the scenario for the thing where people are going to be like, I don't know if you... If they wanted to do the thing, it should have just been there's one ganger and he can switch between different people and we don't know who it is. And then suddenly becomes the thing. Like that. Now you can. I'm just like, what happened? I'm just generally curious. Okay, it definitely feels like.
Go. I can explain. And this is my explanation is reading the Wikipedia page production section.
Okay.
Let me just do this initially first, which is that. Moffat wanted him to do a two-parter, and that would lead into the mid-series finale, and that it should deal with avatars that rebel. Okay, so you hear that avatars that rebel. Initially worried that this may seem too similar to the film Avatar, Graham went on to create The Flesh, which is like I don't know how you confuse the two.
What are you talking about? No, sorry. I'm so sorry. Okay. What?
Okay.
What?
No. And, but this is the thing, okay? So, the monastery was inspired by the film The Name of the Rose, while the Ganners were influenced by The Thing. Graham described it as The Thing in the context of The Name of the Rose, which...
No,
it
it's not. You did neither. You did neither. I'm sorry. I know television is so hard to do, but I just... What are you talking about? You sound insane. First of all, you were worried this may seem too much like Avatar, so you made Avatar. You made Avatar. This is what Avatar is. They go into the fucking bodies.
Well, they need Quaritch. They need like a Quaritch figure if they're going to do that, because this, like... The whole thing with Jennifer being like, you know, the kind of the overriding antagonist figure gets kind of lost in the muddle of them having to try, like you were saying, throwing that really random twist and trying to, like, you know, muddle the waters kind of loses track of who her character is. Because, like, the minute we meet her, Ganner, she's already angry, and, like, there's I do want to say that scene where when she goes into the bathroom and they cut from like a clear like freeze frame of the actress into like the Ganner VFX is very funny. But like they kind of lose track of their characters because they have to have two versions of all these characters running around. And I will say the Wikipedia also mentions that the initial drafts had multiple copies of multiple people running around.
Oh my God.
And they were like, it's way too confusing because I cut this down to like an easier to understand. But by doing that, they kind of lose like any kind of appeal. I think it just feels like they're really kind of losing the thread of what they're doing because they have this gimmick they can throw in. And that is what I think leads to the second episode just becoming like half like, you know, epilogue to the first one, half random slasher film where a monster just randomly appears and then, you know, they're just kind of doing whatever they have to do. It just feels like they had an idea and stopped and were like, that's good enough, you know, because it is ultimately just a vehicle for those final 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's not a very good vehicle, I think.
It's also the problem that Jennifer, as a villain, her abilities rely on things you don't know the Flash could do, and no one at any point goes, wow, that is a new thing the Flash can do.
Why is she so
well, there is one moment
next.
She does say, here's the thing. There is a moment where she does go, I'm growing and I'm getting stronger. She doesn't explain why, but she does say it. Here's the problem. It comes 30 minutes after she's already gone Mr. Fantastic in the fucking bathroom. So it's like she's going, she's already could do all that shit. But also it's like, it really does feel like something happened at a certain point where they just completely switched tracks. Because if you tell me this is supposed to be the thing in the context of The Name of the Rose, my guy, you cited two mysteries. One is a who is it mystery. The other is a whodunit. It's a murder mystery. There is no mystery here. Like, there is never any attempt at mystery. Like, there is no mystery behind, like, is the Flesh sentient? Are they really, like, there's no mystery. Like, anytime any question is brought up, they immediately shut it down. Like, is the Flesh real? Well, they believe it's real. There's that moment where the doctor is like, you call this thing it, and then you call the weapon she. And then Miranda Graves is like, we'll talk philosophy at tea later. It's like, no, talk about it now. It's fucking Doctor Who. What are you talking about? Like, you really, like, this is the shit you do really well.
Yeah.
Also, oh man, it's just like, I really, so curious because we know that there's a lot of rewriting went on, right? Like, I think this is the story we're going to hear a lot with Series 6, which is that, and I think it's maybe Series 7 where it's really in full effect, that he just kind of rewrites everything.
Well, Series 7 is kind of the point where he can't rewrite everything because he has Sherlock and also the 50th, so he has kind of leave everything to like, people who are writing the episodes themselves.
Yeah,
so is series six the last Series six the last one where it's like
one with Matt Smith where he's like, you know, I'll leave your name on the script, but I'll do most of the rewriting here. And okay. Series 8 he has co-writing credits like on The Caretaker and stuff.
Right. I really want him to just do a tell-all book already, you know? Mm-hmm. I really want to know what happened. Well, this specific era right here.
He won't, because literally he said, like, Joy to the World will be my last episode. And now he's been like, oh, well, you know, never say never. Like, every single time he gets, like, a character angle in front of him to be like, you want to do another one? He's like, yeah, I'll do it. So he can't do it until, like, he's definitively like, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going back to this. I'm not working with these guys anymore. Therefore,
and he's never going to do it. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I'm just, it really does feel like the second half of the second part of this episode is a complete, it's like AI generate the finale to this. And then it just makes up shit, just hallucinates stuff. And then it eventually gets you to an end point. And then you're like, okay, I guess this is what I asked for. But also, you want to talk about something I just realized? There's that guy who sacrifices himself in the last scene, whose name I don't even fucking remember. They set up in the first part that he sneezes a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you notice that? But they never bring that back.
They never do anything with it. I don't know what that is. Yeah. I don't know. That's like that reminder that he's thing. Like, yeah. I don't know. A ganger can never sneeze. But then a ganger can, like, fake an injury, apparently, as well. You know, like, create scar tissue. Yeah, that sacrifice was genuinely, like, so weirdly shot as well. Like, again, this is almost nitpicking territory, but, like, I had to rewind a couple times because I couldn't tell what was going on. He's just, like, he's running through the corridor and he just sort of, like, slams the door, but it just seems like it happens for no reason. He's just like, I don't know, fuck it, I'm tired now. blasted. I kind of brought it up before the recording. It was one of the only other things in my notes because it was quite a thin set of notes. A lot of it was just me being like, yeah, I don't know. This is these episodes are thin. This is maybe the thinnest premise they've stretched across two episodes. But one of the main things I did want to bring up is like part of why I wanted to revisit this as well is we've had Wild Blue Yonder in the time since, and it does more successfully capture that kind of like disorienting feel of the like the clone or the imposter story. I'm trying to think if there's any other like good examples from Who's history as well, where because it's like I feel like it's a based under Siege story at the end of it, right? Yeah, and like imposter stories tend to work well in that space.
There's kind of like I guess like the Faceless Ones kind of does that, and kind of like the Autumn stories in the past kind of did that, where they were like, you know, we've got like a duplicate, but like they never really went as far as, you know, but the Faceless Ones kind of closest to like we're going to have these people pose as these other people, but it's never the scale of like we're gonna have like an all-out war between
these people. I mean, maybe Cold Blood and Hungry Earth really is the most apt. It's like the only real difference is that it's like, I guess, no. The thought left me. They really are just almost exactly the same.
They even have a scene where a character is killed with a cattle prod.
What a strange pair of episodes. And like, I don't know, it feels so rare that like the first part is just like so weak in terms of actually like building dread. It feels like they're spending so much time circling trying to establish stuff, and then it doesn't particularly go anywhere. Yeah, I don't know. I was really hoping this would be one of those diamond in the rough situations where I'd be like, okay, no, here's some of the successes, but it is just kind of goop held together by not much. It falls apart in your hands, you know.
Goop is the best description of the episode.
Well, yeah. I had one of the palstros goop in my head, and I was trying to think of like a way to invoke that.
yeah, I did stop thinking about that as well. It's not a good. Do you want to talk about a good vibe
that dates this one incredibly?
Supermassive by Blur?
Yeah. Muse. Why, do you remember Muse?
By Muse. Sorry. Superman. I'm sorry.
I will always take a moment to invoke the album. Was it Drones by Muse a couple of years ago, which is the most embarrassing mainstream album I've heard in like years, where like the songs about like, it's all like, you know, 15-year-old discovers 1984 and makes up their whole personality, but it's like an entire album where like a 45-year-old man is saying about like surveillance states and how bad they are, which they are, but he sings about them like in the most surface level way. But like opening this on Muse is just like the cold
the vibe there is fun, at least, like that they're just like hanging about in the like they're just the dudes. This like the TARDIS is their home at this point.
The cold open with like them being on Marifat, like, oh yeah, he's gone to the acid now, we'll just let him be, we'll go off, like that's fun, and then that bit's fun. Yes. And then it just becomes this whole like drab attempt to like figure
that spirit
out.
Is just gone, it's just gone. That spirit is gone immediately. You can definitely see I mean, here is literally the top of my head pitch. What if like they don't care about the gangers at all, and so maybe Jennifer like sometimes fucks around with her ganger, you know, like kills herself for fun in like fun ways. And that's why her ganger is like, has so many discarded versions and all that shit. That's why her ganger is like insane when it becomes sentient. See, there you go. There you go. See, there's a thing. You can do that. It feels like that's using the flesh idea more than this episode actually is. Mm-hmm. You know, like this episode just uses them as an excuse to have two different characters. And then there's one character that really explores like what it means if you have a completely perfect duplicate of yourself existing, and that's the guy who has a kid. Mm-hmm. That is the only plot line that explores that, because the Miranda doesn't. She has a brain clot, and that's like something she brings up, and then it seems to be
affecting her. Literally, like cures with like just shit that he finds in the TARDIS.
An observation on that bit as well, which is that the actress playing Miranda, like, is going for like, you know, very kind of droll, kind of, you know, very kind of straight face performance, but that kind of doesn't really help with that character, I think. And like Mark Bonner, who is famously the 11 in Big Finish Productions, playing the dad character, like
famously. The most famous 11 in Doctor Who,
aiding Gillian's iconic hat from Watch Dogs.
The problem is that like they're all given one defining characteristic to stand in for, like, you know, when they switch around, then this is going to happen to them now. But then it's like with the sneeze as well, you know, like it's so surface level and it never really like pays off in a story about how, you know, perfect copies of yourself, are they you, or are they just like, you know, a completely other kind of organism? There's never any attempt to like explore that in a way that is interesting and not just surface level. So maybe the Muse needle drop is a meta commentary on everything, you know.
You could imagine a version of this where, like, say, you know, they don't really know the gangers are alive in the first part, and then the second part ends with ends up dead, and then the lights go out, and they all wake up, and they don't know who's who, and then that's your second part, you know, like. Just like use that for something. I also think the names, once again, much like one episode you were in with the Cyberman two-parter, the name should have been switched. This one should be the Almost Biple, and the second one should have been the Rebel Flesh.
Yeah, because Rebel Flesh is so much more of a like intense name as well. And it's again, it tells you almost too much about where the episode's going to go. Like, you know, I mean, you know from the cold open that the goo people are going to be the villains or whatever, or the...
Yes.
I mean, well, they maybe didn't even necessarily need to be the villains. It could have been one of those things where it's like, this is something that humanity's proliferated that's fucked up, like Planet of the End or something. I don't know.
It tries to do that, though.
The ending. It tries to do that.
The ending where the doctor's like, I'm going to deliver both of you now to this big tribunal, and you're going to like take them down.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, buddy, you've turned them into humans, so like, there's no real way to prove that like they're, you know, that there's anything going on, because if they get scanned, it's like, yeah, they're being stabilized, they're probably human.
And exactly.
Like, two, it's the most, like, you know, like Dar Man, those videos where it's like the man insulted this lowly worker, but turns out he was the billionaire owner of this new company.
And now yes.
It's like one of those things where it's like they're going to deliver these two guys to these big conglomerate, and they're going to take them down straight away. And it's like
they're dead. The moment they walk through that door, they're getting like incinerated. Like nobody. I think it's a slightly naive like faith in like democracy to do the right thing or whatever, which is maybe a cynical worldview to apply to again. As one of our Game Rura guests put it, a children's show that people have tricked themselves into thinking is telling big statements. But hey,
the thing is what it is. There's a version of this that changes a few things that does work, and it's called Oxygen. And it happens in series 10.
I'm looking forward to watching Oxygen when you guys get to it. Because I skipped most of that season, but it sounds like my jam.
I mean, you kind of need to put, if you are watching this along with us, which, by the way, I'm sorry for taking 6 years to get this to get to series. Wait, we did say, didn't we? I think if you go all the way back to like episode one, it's like, I can't wait to talk about series 6 in 2024.
We also said
that it's true.
There was a vision that we had where we'd be on Capaldi by now, and then both of us had like complete like schedule collapses. That resulted in us doing this now rather than
And if you'd stuck to the original plan, we'd still be in the doldrums of K-9 by now. So
exactly.
God bless.
Yep.
What's K-9? What's K-9?
K-9
doesn't exist.
What? No, genuinely, like, what is K-9?
What did that kid say? Too slow, RoboFuzz. But
too slow, RoboFuzz.
I'm surprised no one has used the flesh. This is like one of the few, because
they have that setup at the end where the flesh doctor's holding up the screwdriver. And he's like, I don't know, I might survive this. And then it's like, no, he did. He's dead. He's gone. It's like the doctor's daughter when she's flying off at the end. It's like, no.
She flies into the
There'll
sun.
There'll be many, many stories of this character for years to come. No.
I'm just checking now on TARDIS Wiki to see if they've been used again.
They have not. I've checked.
They've only been used this season. They're only in like three episodes, and they're never brought up again.
Oh, yeah, because they'll be in the next episode, kind of pivotal moment, which will kind of be the same twist again.
Harrowing. It's actually a harrowing moment. Though.
The scream from Karen Gillan. Oh, my God.
It's like, again, it's a really good fucking moment. And it reminded me why I was so excited to rewatch this, because when I was a kid and I watched this, I was like, whoa, I can't wait to watch the next one. And I didn't think about the fact that the past 45 minutes had sucked.
I do have a confession as well, which is that before I'd properly watched this series, one of the, like, this came on repeat or something in like 2012, but I literally just caught the final 2 minutes. So I caught the doctor turning Amy into sludge and then her suddenly like giving birth. I was like, what the fuck is this show about? Like,
that's what happens when two people love each other so much.
He gets out a stomach screwdriver and then she gets teleported away.
She becomes sludge.
Say what you were going to say.
She becomes calm. Are you happy now?
Put in a cheering crowd.
Are you happy?
If there's anything else to say, I can do my special little game that I've created.
Oh, your special little game!
My special little game. The first game ever been invented.
We're so close. We take so long that we're like about 2 weeks away from me finally getting the Blu-ray for the Doctor Who 2023 anniversary specials.
Jesus Christ.
It took me, let me check my watch, about a year and a half. I'm so happy. I love it. I can't wait to get series one in Blu-ray. Let me check my watch in about another year and a half.
I will say,
I
the series
love
one,
modern media.
I have the series Blu-ray, which costs like 60 quid, which is insane.
Because it's one disc per episode.
It is.
It's what?
It is. It's one disparate episode, but it also it has like the confident, not Tom, just Unleashed stuff on it as well. Like the entire Unleashed stuff, and it has.
But that
the,
doesn't need to take up a full Blu-ray disc.
Yes, they do that. Yeah, they have has, those in the one I have, and they
It has Tales of TARDIS as well. So as the,
well, you know what it doesn't have? One. It doesn't have the deleted scenes that they just put up this week.
It people doesn't. Are like, what the fuck? Yeah.
You are kidding me. You are No.
It
I thought
doesn't
they
have...
put it up because the Blu-ray was out.
No,
and they were like,
no you could watch those safely.
Blu-ray came out in like September. So they're...
Wait, are you telling me I waited a year and a half for a Blu-ray of a... what am I complaining? Yeah.
Okay. The quiz. So something
what am I kidding around?
It's game time. Michelle, you can't be angry. Yeah. It's game time. Games famously never make anyone angry.
Settle down, children. this is basically... I've taken a page for someone or something from the TARDIS wiki, and you want to try and guess. This is like my lovely little ganger who's come in and... impersonate the page, but you can't see their face. So I'll read you out some of the things from this page, okay. And you need to guess who or what I'm going through. Okay, so this is from the prose novel Head of State. Due to intervention from wartime powers in blank. The blank is a clue, but it's not the person. It's a person. The continuum was put into a multi-valued state for several months. In the end, the effects of the interference mostly cancelled each other out, but the wrong blank won.
Oh, that sounds like a familiar story.
During President?
It might be. It's a specific.
Are you John F. Kennedy?
No. During the Knizian invasion, when Tannis contacted the White House, the something welcomed him to Earth in a spirit of peace and friendship.
It's President Winters. It's gotta be President Winters, right? Famous President Winters.
It's not.
I can be
close.
Your master of your domain if you so
you're close.
Choose.
Tannis demanded his surrender, he opted to try to stall for time. He and the Prime Minister ordered the missile defense systems activated in response to Tannis' threat to destroy London. That's from the webcast Death Comes to Time. And I will say, Death Comes to Time has a very accurate visual depiction of this person. Panda's nose was left scratched when this person ran him over on a bicycle. That's from Iris Wildtime, The Claws of Santa.
that doesn't count for anything. Anything happens in Iris Wildtime. Anything happens in Doctor Who, actually.
Iris Wildtime and Panda encountered a robot of blank that looked confused while other robot blanks were brutally violent. And that's from Prose, Why? Because We Like You. So, you've guessed this is a president, but which president is it?
Oh, God.
Hold on. So, he was with a prime minister, right?
Oh, he's a president, and he's with the prime minister.
No, he was with a prime minister, you said.
He was working with the prime minister of Britain when...
For a webcast...
A webcast that came out at a certain point.
Can I get the year? No, that gives it away, doesn't it?
I'll give you the decade. It was a decade that was at least 20 years ago.
God.
I mean, to be honest, webcast kind of gives it away. It has to be between 90-something, 98 and 2005. So I'm going to guess Bill Clinton.
No.
Wow.
I'm going to guess George Bush.
Which one?
W.
Young one, W, obviously.
Sam gets the point. It is George W. Bush. I wanted to conclude this bit.
Who voiced George W. Bush?
I don't know, but in Prose Cyberon, which is BBV, George Cooper thought Bush had green hair, but Lauren Anderson knew it was gray. This is the one I want to conclude. Well, there's one thing, which was that because of wartime powers in the 2000 US presidential election, Bush won, but
right.
Also
according to
this unofficial short story, Jonathan Dennis's unofficial short story "Hanging Chads" depicted the meddling of faction paradox agents in the 2000 election.
Oh my god!
Which is what happened in Head of State. So Faction Paradox caused the weekend.
I never thought I could hate an imaginary person more than a British writer in early 2000s writing a satirical take on the 2000 election with Doctor Who characters. By the way, I looked up who voices George W. Bush. Do you want to know who voices him?
Yes, please.
It's got to be our man John Coleshaw, of course. Of course.
We bring the boom.
Man, that was great. That was great. You know what wasn't great? The Rebel Flesh.
No. What about the Rizzler Flesh? And
they should try this story. You know what?
Almost cookie.
Hey Russell. Try this again. Let's give this another shot. You know what?
Boom, doctor.
What if 15 and Ruby just land here and it's like, we're gonna do this again? That's it. Just do it again, but do it good. I genuinely think if they did this right, these monsters, the Flesh could be like the next big Doctor Who monster.
I fear it will become a commentary on something like Ozempic or something, knowing Russell. That was the most like
he did that. Well, that doesn't stop him from doing it again. Like,
do you want me to not want this? Because I want that. I want to see the Flesh be a commentary on Ozempic. I would love to see that right now.
That's the adipose, baby.
Oh my god! It would be. Oh my god! I need to see it. I need to see Russell T. Davis bring back the Flesh to comment on the. Oh my god! Yes.
I mean, yes, Dot on the Bubble was kind of one of the better episodes, and that's like the slightly clunky, like social commentary Russell T. Davis that I love.
That's why I was like, why are people? I definitely do not get. Well, this is not the first season we're recording after season 14, but it is. It is. It's not.
It is. No, because the last time we did this was like right before. Anything has happened because
I remember the episode I did was in like May, so it was like
can we go back? Is there a clip of us saying, wow, I hope the finale is gonna be really good?
Almost definitely is.
Wow, I can't wait for all these plot threads to resolve in a satisfying manner.
I really hope one of you like jokes about Su-Tech on Mike, because it would be so fucking funny.
It's one of us going like, they'll never do an episode where an anagram that is completely random and just thrown in.
I think people who take, who like spend their entire lives just complaining about Doctor Who need to get a life and need to get out, and I hate you, but it was the wrong anagram is genuinely one of like the funniest fucking things that I've ever seen. Just an absolute moment where you're like, you can feel somebody be like, ah, wow. Fire. That was great. I got them all. And you had no point like, that's not, again, nobody was like, that's not an anagram. That's not what an anagram is.
We'll get to it in a decade. We're all much calmer people.
Can I say, 34? It came up on my timeline recently. One of the funniest reveals of all time is still, she was pointing at the sign because she wanted to name you and there was no one around the place and she was by herself.
I thought I was over it and I had like a 20 minute long like conversation with a friend about it. It was because it's not in the episode anyway. No, we'll get to it.
I also thought I was over it, and the instant you said it I had like a Ratatouille flashback of rewatching that moment and
it's just like, cloak, because she wanted to wear a cloak because it was mysterious. Do you remember that?
Like, it was Russell
was like, she's wearing a cloak because she wants to be mysterious, not be seen. I was like, why?
But the mystery came from us. She didn't want to be seen, but we came up with a mystery.
Yeah,
because she didn't want to be seen.
Yeah.
God damn it, he got us again. Fuck. I just like to imagine every time a Russell T. Davis finale is the equivalent of you walking out of a movie going, wow, that was great, and you take 10 steps and you go, wait, that wasn't. Fuck, they got us again.
It's also, I don't know, it's like, it feels like he's, I don't know. You'll get to it. You'll very much get to it.
It's like a late era Ridley Scott movie, you know? You go in, you're like, oh, but he made Gladiator.
Been riddled again.
He gets away scot-free.
He gets away scot-free, one, because scot-free, but two, because he made Prometheus and Alien Covenant, which are two of the best movies of all time.
Honestly, I give it that. I gave... What the fuck was I on? I gave Gladiator 2 4 stars. No, we gotta change that. We're gonna bring that back to... we gotta change that right now. Yeah, I changed that. I remember what I was on, and that makes a lot of sense. But
you were taken by Paul Mescal, and you were like, "I was a great actor." And then you woke up, and you're like, "What? What?"
They sure made him look not white. Wonder how they did that. Because I don't see a speck of white in that man's face. But I know he is, because he's Irish. God damn it. I know that. You can't trick me. God damn it. I've seen him. I've seen photos of him. He's Irish. Oh, my God. The Rebel Flesh. You should watch Baby Geniuses and the Treasure from Egypt, if that's what you like. You should check that out.
Man who has watched 1,000 movies.
We did not talk about... I just can't believe it's been 15 minutes. We did not talk about the fucking set, which we made... It looks like Myst. It's the fucking island from Myst.
It is.
Why did they...
You click on the glowing book, you'll get a better story. I don't know.
What it is it's a location they used in End of Time. It's just a castle in Wales that just looks like a Quake 2 map that you're going to run around with your friends and just kind of hang out and hear some cool kind of music. I don't know. Not Dusty Springfield, anyway.
Mm.
Damn. I think that island looks... Again, everything here... You know what they should do? Okay. Here's a free idea for you, Nick Briggs, because you're clearly listening to us, and you clearly need ideas from us.
Hello.
You should start, much like how you have Classic Doctors, You Monsters, you should have a series called Classic Doctors Modern Stories. Just put fucking Colin Baker in this, and I think he would do such a better job, because he would push that fucking clone into the acid immediately.
He'd be like, that's cum, and he'd walk away because he can be
But all joking aside, I would actually like it if Big Finish did like a, you know, second chance theater, you know, where like they just take these stories that are reviled. You can have it be from like any time. Have the writer come back and like, you know, hey, have a second shot. What the fuck else are we going to do with it? Like, what else are we going to do with this? You know, why not let Matthew Graham take another shot at this?
It is kind of interesting that this is his last kind of foray into this, because like I feel like there was probably one thing where he was asked and he said, I don't have time at the moment, but you know, I'll come back to you, and then it just never happened, because like it just, I don't know, it's one of those rare things that happens where like they have someone write something and then like years down the line they're like, you know, come back and do, because like he was meant to write for series 5 and then was like, I don't have time, sorry, and then Moffat was like, do you want to write for series 6 instead? He was like, yeah, sure. So it just feel like, you know, sometimes a showrunner will be like, I'll bring my friend back in who has experience doing this. So like, you know, we have all hands on deck. But like, it does feel kind of strange that he has never been kind of brought back in. Although I will say he does kind of have the vibe that people think Chibnall has sometimes in terms of his ideas and his scripts and stuff. So maybe it was just kind of a thing. I don't know. No, I'm not going
to
say
every
that.
Bone in my body to say who knows.
Who
knows?
Who knows?
We're not signing another episode off going who knows.
That was a sound. That was a sound. If listeners, you said a sound of three people across the entire globe simultaneously putting their fingers to their nose and going, "Who knows?
Who knows?"
We are maybe a year and a half away from that episode. Wow, that's gonna be great. I have many stories. Like from
hours.
That.
It's gonna be 6 hours long. We're gonna have like everyone on board. I think
absolutely.
Yeah,
I do want to say too. I think this should get a novelization. Are they doing any more like of the modern Who stories?
There is one that the problem is that like not problem, but like the thing is that they are doing them, but like they seem to mostly just now be Bad Wolf era stuff. So they had like all the recent ones were just series one novelizations of like Rogue and stuff.
That's fine. Yeah.
There was one that leaked. There was something that leaked recently. They're like there was an Amazon listing for something, but it was one of those ones where it's like it's just called like Doctor Who Target or something, so they don't know what it is. So it might be an old one, but it does seem like now that like their focus is on just doing current stuff, and then you know maybe they'll get back to this. I guess I don't know. You have to put like an NC-17 rating on the front though, because you know all the mentions of like, a hot white liquid that was bubbling in the vat that exploded everywhere.
There's only two 11 stories novelized, which is shocking to me. And again, one of them is The Day of the Doctor. Do you know what the other one is?
Crimson Horror.
It's the Crimson Horror, which Crimson is like, Horror. Okay, I get that. But I'm like,
about liquid.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I would have been like, maybe this is one of them. I'm going to start a list of episodes that need a novelization. I'm going to say this is one of them. And if they do a novelization, change the plot. just change the plot. Have fun. Do something weird.
But keep the cum.
Yes.
Keep the cum. And be explicit. Be like, you know, and then the doctor says, is that semen? And they say, oh, no, doctor, it's the flesh. The flesh. The flesh sounds like euphemism for
horrifying exchange.
Every time you say like, no doctor, it's just the flesh, like it just sounds like you're saying something dirty. It sounds like you're saying that's just the flesh, or that you're in a dystopian hellscape and you're like, haha, that's the flesh. We dare not look into its eyes lest we be lost forever in madness.
Amen.
Speaking of madness, to keep yourself sane, you can find Sam in other places, and also in other places as well, like such as I'm going all rogue on this one. I'm like the Rebel Flesh. I'm rebelling against all order of decency by going completely all over the shop for these plugs. You can find like things like, you know, it's a really interesting account called like Conan Throws a Commercial, Conan Cuts a Commercial. Does anyone know what the Conan O'Brien account is called, where like it's videos of
yes, it's called Conan intro.bsky.social. It's called Conan O'Brien Throws the Commercial. Please go follow it. It's a clip every day.
There's a Doctor
that's
Who
all one. I'm doing right now. Yeah, oh, there is the on November 23rd, because I don't have a life. Posted one, which is a really fun one from 2015, where Peter Capaldi was just like a random surprise guest doing a Comic-Con show. And then that clip ends with one of my favorite things, which is he goes, stay tuned, coming up next, the cast of X-Men Apocalypse.
Ooh.
Right? And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we have it bad, but we're not as bad as that, you know?
Yeah.
The movie that really fuses with a mutant. People forget that the opening credits has like a bit where it implies that Jesus was a mutant.
What do you mean people forget that? I remember that every day.
When you wake up, you're like, I gotta remember that Jesus was a
mutant. Yeah.
Awful. All right, episode's over. Go home, everybody. It's popcorn on the floor. Ushers are banging on the door.
You show up to a Christmas service at the church and like, guys, you gotta remember, Jesus is a mutant and he knew Apocalypse.
Horrible.
But yeah, you can do that, and you can also find there's something about games or something, I think.
Go on the friendlymush.com website and click on the different images, and you'll find a show called Gamer Era that David and I host, which is about video games. We did an episode that was about Doctor Who games with Michelle, and we will do another episode about Doctor Who games and maybe some spitball and some brainstorming, because it's a very fun journey.
I'll play the scary Weeping Angel VR game, even though the idea of doing. No, I'm taking it back. I'm not doing it. Sorry.
No, sorry. You're locked in. You're locked in.
Too scary. Too scary.
By the time this comes out, we'll probably be doing series three, I think, because this
might. The episode might. Timey-wimey. Look, if you click on the... And if you're listening far off in the future and you went to the funny, friendly mush site and the little Michelle popped up in the corner and went, click on me for help. And you clicked on Michelle and were directed to that fine episode, then go listen to it and all the other lovely, friendly mush shows.
And you can find me ganging away.
fewbat.bsky.social. There, yeah. I got your plug.
Thank you. You're both ganging up on me. Gooning, ganging, who knows what to do. I'm edging my way out of here. How about you? Bye bye.
Bye.
Next time on Pod Tour, who cast?
This is the day he finds out who I am.
My friend, you have never risen higher.
On this day, in this place, the Doctor will.
Where is my wife?
No! Child, not a weapon!